All right, let's get cracking. Monday morning, we've got MASH here, and we are spending some time just getting into the week. And there are only a few days left of November, and then before you know it, it's going to be December and Christmas, and you've got to get those presents. You're going to get the decorations up and the tree, and Christmas music is going to start playing in the shops.
Oh, yes.
I mean, all the malls already must be covered in Christmas decorations.
They already are. Even at work. Yeah, I've been. Even at work, we're already putting up the Christmas decorations already. We're not wasting any time. And
should we put a Christmas tree up here?
Yeah, definitely. We need a Christmas tree up in here. It's, yeah.
When do we put it up? Beginning of December?
No, end of October. Oh, my. Y'all are already way overdue. Way overdue.
No. No, there used to be a rule that you would do it 12 days before Christmas on the 12th, and you would take it down 12 days after Christmas. That's what I understood. Am I wrong? Does that come from somewhere?
The malls have that shit up end of October.
I know, but I don't want my whole world to be like a shopping mall. You know? You get those terrible decorations that they like, you get a string of lights for your tree or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's got a little box on it that plays shitty songs as well. You got to switch that thing off because that'll drive you crazy.
Oh, geez.
Don't you think?
That'll drive you absolutely nuts.
All right. Last time we had you here.
Yeah.
I just want to clean up some stuff here because we left things lying around in the last episode. Your uncle, remember you told us about how you went to a wedding.
Yes. The one who got married.
And then that uncle just disappeared.
He just vanished. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he called my dad asking for money. He said,
that's
I'm a married man now. My dad was like, married to who? Because there was no wedding of yours that we attended.
Right.
And yeah, that uncle is a mess.
So have you found him since then? Have you seen him? Have you got any updates?
We haven't seen him since then. We still haven't seen him. Still don't hear from him. Obviously, he only calls us when he wants money. We just kind of he's out of sight, out of mind. He's one of those people. You know, you have those family members that, you know what, as long as you're not asking us for money, we don't care about you. Just stay in your little lane and we'll see you when we see you.
Yeah.
He's one of those uncles. But I do have another uncle, Gareth.
Oh, brilliant. You see, I love this. Your family are fascinating. All right, tell me about this other uncle.
So this uncle of mine, oh, geez.
People want to know.
If what I didn't say last time got me disowned, this will. But anyway.
I love it. Go on, tell us.
So this uncle of mine, Shame, he's such a sweetie. So he is my aunt's husband. The aunt that I'm really close with.
Okay.
It's her husband. And Shame, he's such a wonderful man, you know. I have to preface this with that.
Okay, sure.
But there's something weird I noticed that he does.
Mm.
Very weird. And I actually need people to come and help me understand. Maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe I'm too young to understand. Maybe, you know, I haven't been exposed to the world as much to understand why he does this. But after showering every day, this uncle of mine, whenever I visit my aunt's house, obviously he'll be there. But after showering, I also have to first mention that he's bald, by the way.
Oh, he's bald.
He's completely bald.
So there's no hair.
There's no hair.
Okay.
But every day after showering, I hear the hairdryer going off in the bedroom.
That's very suspicious.
I've always
found
that to be super weird, super weird. I've always asked my friends, like, geez, there's a hairdryer going off and he's bald. What?
Wow.
So that's something I want to understand. Is there something that people do that I don't know about? Please let me know.
Yeah, guys, like, we got to help MASH figure this out because that does not make any sense to me. I don't even own a hairdryer.
Okay? I don't either.
And we have hair.
Yeah, you have the most voluptuous hair.
So what's he doing, this man, with the... What's he drying?
I have no clue. And it goes on for like 15 minutes.
His balls?
Perhaps.
Maybe. I mean, you said he's a very nice man. And I don't believe that this will impinge on his character in any way.
Certainly.
Right? It's not like people are going to go, well, he must be some kind of weirdo. But he's doing something with that hairdryer.
He's doing something. I don't know what. And of course, I can't ask. I can't ask my aunt, what's your bald husband doing with that little hairdryer in the bedroom?
If there's anyone who can figure this out, it is our comment section. So let's see what you got here. His toes, says Lisa. Many people blow dry their butts to keep the towel clean.
Oh, is that a thing?
That is from Color. He says, yeah. He's drying his ball hairs, says Michael.
Okay.
Okay, great feeling. Drying your nether regions with warm air, says Hugh.
Oh.
So there are lots of people here who do this, obviously. Sebastian says, I have long hair and at the same time I do my beard, but I manscape. Does he have a beard?
He has no beard.
Hmm.
Completely clean shaven.
Maybe he's just cold, says Lisa.
In summer.
Maybe he's cold. I don't know. He gets out and has a cold shower. He gets out and just to warm up.
Okay, that makes sense, I suppose. I suppose.
Drying his body. He's shaving. But why would you need a hairdryer to shave? They make a very different noise.
Yeah.
Hairdryer, shaver, different sound.
Completely different. Okay?
Does he have a big bush? How's Mash going to know that? He's not walking in there. We know what he's drying, says that Don Kitty, but nobody says so. Yeah. I don't think you can't say we know what he's doing, but then you don't tell us what you know.
Certainly.
Carl says he's drying his genitalia. Guys at the gym do this. It's bizarre. Just use the towel.
Oh, so wait, do people use a hairdryer to dry their...
I've never seen this. It's possible.
What? That is wild.
Imagine.
Yo, also, I haven't been in the gym locker rooms in a very long time. And the last time I used the gym locker rooms, I ended up in a relationship. So after that, I was like,
oh, hey, is that where it started?
Hey. No, not that. It was a prior one. Yeah. Okay, so I was like, never again. So I don't know what people are doing in there.
Okay, so I think we're getting some more or less the same answers. My friend used to put deodorant on and then use the hairdryer on his armpits.
What? That is even weirder to
very
me.
Very odd.
So you're drying the deodorant. Oh, it makes sense. So you don't put on a shirt and then it's wet.
Yeah,
your
Bitcoin
shirt.
But says, Mash, you must walk in one time. But yeah. I don't think you want to do that. Not on your uncle.
No.
Could be very embarrassing. He could be he could be in this position. He could be drying it like this. with his head right between. Can you imagine? That would be pretty terrible. My dad dries under his arms so the deodorant doesn't stay in his clothes. He does like the towel, so he dries his body with a dryer.
Oh.
But what's the point then? Why have a towel?
That doesn't make sense. Because then to me, that means that you walk out of the shower dripping wet and grab a hairdryer.
This is truly a mystery.
It is a mystery to me.
A hairdryer will take a long time if you get out of the shower and you use the hairdryer to dry yourself.
To use it anyway, even in your nether regions, just a towel literally takes seconds.
And it's not like you are so wet afterwards it takes you a long time to dry. You literally dab off and then you're done, right?
Certainly.
I mean, when I finish drying myself after a shower, like this morning, it's not like the towel is wet.
It's not.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not that much water.
Certainly, yeah.
Why would you use a dryer? This is very mysterious.
It'll never make sense to me, Gareth.
I don't understand. No hair and the guy's using a hairdryer after a shower.
It'll never make sense to me. And I can't ask, obviously, because they're family. So we'll see. We'll see.
So that Don Kitty says, I was thinking the worst would be if you walked in and he's lying down and spreading his cheeks to dry them. Wow. Maybe just a nice feeling. I wouldn't know, says Mo Rabbit.
Well, maybe we should try it.
I don't know. I mean, it's a very strange thing. I don't own a hairdryer and I've never seen anyone doing anything odd with a hairdryer myself. So I can't imagine. It's just too difficult to think.
It is wild.
What it might be. So this is not the same uncle who disappeared.
No, different this is a different uncle. Yeah.
Are there any other uncles we should know about? Because there are a lot in your family.
I have a lot. I have one uncle who's sick at the moment.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
We call him the baby maker because he has kids everywhere.
You call him the baby maker?
Yeah. He has kids literally everywhere he goes. He was a taxi driver. Well, he is a taxi driver for a living. So, of course, he's like, you know, picking up, dropping off people.
Mm.
And yeah, some of them he drops off pregnant, apparently. So,
what an interesting family. Yeah, this is great.
He's actually really sick at the moment. And I might have to go to Klerksdorp, sorry, Qwaqwa soon.
Speaking of Klerksdorp, though, the illegal miners there, that story carries on. We tried to address this on Friday and I still don't know what the updates are, but it seems to have polarized people. There are people who are like, blow them up, chase them out, smoke them out, including the minister, Kombutso Mchaveni, who said, like, we're going to smoke you out. These guys are bad. They've broken the law. You're not allowed to go and mine illegally. You're not allowed to occupy mines illegally. They've been harassing the community. She very much believes we must just treat them as criminals. And there are many people in that community who believe they should be treated as criminals.
Yeah.
But then they're also, everybody climbs on board, you know, human rights people, activists. They're like, oh, no, we can't be mean to these people. Some of them are trapped underground. I don't know if that's true. According to some, they're just hiding there.
They're just hiding there. Nobody's trapped down there.
So what do you think? You have any strong feelings on this?
Yeah, of course I have feelings on this because it's happening in Klerksdorp. Despite BBC and Al Jazeera reporting that it's happening 145 kilometers west of Joburg.
Why won't they say Klerksdorp? Are they embarrassed?
I have no clue. I have no clue because there's nothing wrong with Klerksdorp. Klerksdorp is a nice place. But I'm very mixed emotions about the situation, mostly because, first of all, these are people trying to feed their families. That I have to get out of the way immediately because it's always going to be a factor, Gareth. There are people out there who don't have skills. They don't have qualifications. They have nothing to offer the world. And they feel like this is their last resort. So my bit of sympathy goes out to them on that part. But then the part where I'm like, I'm very mixed emotions about is the blowing them up part. And also the...
Well, I don't think we want to blow them. Listen. I don't think anyone said we should just dynamite them. I mean, Warris has been very outspoken about them, but
yeah.
I think that maybe there are a lot more people who actually don't give a shit now. They're sick.
Yeah.
Because these Zamas, someone said that they used to go running near there and these guys like shoot bullets at people who are in the area because they think that they're obviously coming to take the gold that these guys are trying to mine out of the old mine dumps or whatever. So there's a lot of security issues around this. Many of these people are illegal on a number of different levels. They're illegal immigrants. They are illegal miners. They're doing other criminal things that involve, you know, weapons, that involve abusing women. There are a lot of women who've complained that they can't walk there. They don't feel safe.
Yeah,
there are accusations of rape and abuse that have happened around these mines, the illegal mines, the Zamazamas themselves are responsible for some of these activities. And then, of course, there's the stuff that they're doing with the gold or whatever other minerals they bring up, that you're adding that to the economy illegally and that it's being processed into the rest of the gold. So I don't know much about that. As far as I can tell, though, most people on the internet don't seem to be very sympathetic to these guys. And the internet's obviously not the way everybody feels.
Yeah.
But if you live there and you've got family in Klerksdorp, I just wonder if it makes you more angry than if you lived in Joburg or if you were on, you know, watching some international news network like BBC or Al Jazeera, as you say, who can't even say Klerksdorp. So instead they say west of Johannesburg.
Yeah. It's a very tough one, Gareth. It's a very, very tough one. Yes, they're legal guys that, I mean, they're wrong in every single aspect of the word because, I mean, why are they even here to begin with? But it's just, there are people out there who, these are their family members, and hearing people online saying that just blow them up.
Yeah.
Just blow them up in there. It's very heartbreaking. And yes, they're not coming out on purpose. They are staying in there because they want to stay in there, but they're also running out of food. So now what must be happening after that? Once they're out of food, are we going to send them food?
Yeah.
Are we going to support them in any way? Just and keep them alive so we can arrest them?
Why the rest of us respond? You don't go to work every day and expect someone else to help you.
Certainly not.
Right? I mean, otherwise you wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You just sit at home and go, somebody else is responsible, come and help me. And I also don't buy this thing, as much as it is an argument, that they're trying to feed their families. Well, there are ways to do that that are legal, and there are ways to do that that are illegal.
Certainly.
And that doesn't excuse bad behavior, like, you know, someone mentioned in the comments here that a few young women were raped when they were filming a music video about 2 years ago.
I remember.
Remember?
Yes.
So what do we do? Do we say, oh, well, they were just trying to feed their families?
No.
No. You know? So it's a very tough one. And the number, they're like 4,000 people or something.
I don't know how the hell they even fit in there. I don't know how they even fit in. And they're living in there.
This is the worst part, right, is that it must be just unbelievably shit down there. I mean, it must be like hell. Like hell. There's no other way to put it.
It's how I imagine hell to be.
Just shit and piss and darkness, and the air doesn't move down there, obviously. So it's dank and it's just so insanitary. It must be the most unhealthy place in the world to find yourself. And you have to imagine how desperate somebody would be to live like that.
Certainly.
Right?
They have to be. They have to be.
No, it's absolutely
most
horrible.
People rather beg on the street before they go into a illegal mine. So it's a
very
sad
hard
situation.
Work too. I mean, obviously it's sweaty, it's hot, it's you probably don't have very sophisticated equipment if you're these guys.
Yeah.
Because the mining companies obviously do this very expensive equipment that you
certainly
can use. But these guys are like using handheld weapons and handheld devices in order to chip out a little bit of some mineral. I mean, it's very, very tough work. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Mm.
So I don't know. I'm also like you. I'm a bit conflicted about what to say about this.
Plus also, I mean, the first, you mentioned that they don't even have the right equipment.
Mm-mm.
And safety.
Oh, there's no safety.
There's no safety
people
down
are
there.
Dying all the time.
People are,
And they just throw them down the shaft.
They'll just throw you down because what are they going to do with you? They can't bring you back up.
Mm-mm. And also because there's no record of who went in.
Yeah.
There's no record of who comes out. So you don't know whether they died down there or whether they were even in there.
You don't know.
And they're not going to go and retrieve bodies hundreds of meters down.
No, they're not going
to. It's not going to happen. It's very odd. It's modern day slavery, says Common Sense. Mm. Send them to the salt mines, says Slippery Pickle. I think they're already in probably a worse place than the salt mines. At least in the salt mines, you're in open air. The Zamazamas are organized crime. They are not random people, says Azalea.
Mm.
That's also true. Mapelo just says the smell. That's all. Did you know that 50% of all the gold ever mined comes from the Witwatersrand? Yeah, apparently we are responsible in South Africa for half of the gold on planet Earth that has ever been mined.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing, huh?
That's pretty incredible.
Sure. I showed Mash a video earlier of this mine in the Congo. Well, it's not a mine. It's a mountain in the Congo.
Okay.
That collapsed. That just happened, I think, over this weekend.
Yes.
In the DRC. And it exposed a whole lot of copper that had been hidden underground.
Yes.
And all these people there are just, they're waiting to go and like grab the copper so that they can try and sell it. I mean, that's a hard place to live. The Congo.
Dog eat dog out there.
Yeah, the mining network underground is massive, says Barely Vocal Media. Bitcoin Boot says send Gayton down. Apparently, Gayton McKenzie's been very outspoken about this too. You know, he's not a big fan of illegal immigrants.
Yes.
I'm kind of with him on that. Let's see if he gets involved, even though he's not minister of anything to do with mining.
I mean, he wants his fingers in every pot, it seems.
I think so. But the only person who's been really outspoken about this from a government point of view is the minister in the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And because of all of this, I've started following her, and I saw that it was President Cyril's birthday this weekend.
Oh, was it?
On Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, one of the two. I can't remember which one.
Okay.
But it was President Cyril Ramaphosa's birthday over the weekend, which I wouldn't have known if I wasn't following that minister.
I don't think anybody even knew.
No, yeah, there he is with his, I got an iPad for Christmas. I mean, for my birthday, I got an iPad. Look at my iPad. Isn't it big? I'm going to take a picture with this.
With the iPad.
Look at this.
It's
great.
So cute.
What a nice iPad. Yeah.
Oh, shame. Happy birthday to him then. Happy belated to him.
So I don't know whether he had a party or not. You and I weren't invited.
Clearly.
It's fine. Have your party. It's cool. And then just for fun, I found a video of why you shouldn't be fat. Okay, these two. Yeah, it's a very domestic scene. It's outside of someone's house.
Okay.
And something happens to the one fat person. The other fat person tries to help them.
Aww.
And it's just because they're both fat, it doesn't work out well. Take a look. You'll see. There's no sound here. Oh,
that's a horrible fall.
She falls
down the stairs.
Mm.
What a horrible fall.
If she wasn't fat, she wouldn't have fallen so hard. Watch. What, that's a head over. That's a head first. Look at this. Wait. Watch it again. And boom. And that must be sore because, of course, it's concrete or it's stone or some. Have we had enough?
Yeah, how much people get hurt?
No, let's stop.
Fat
people. Stop.
It's not their choice, Gareth. They didn't want to get hurt.
It's not their choice. You think anyone wants to fall? No. It is funny, though, how when someone falls in public, we all go, but nobody runs to help.
Oh, yeah, nobody does.
Nobody helps, right?
Nobody ever does. I know people just laugh. I don't get how people can laugh at someone falling. I simply do not get it. Hey,
you don't?
I don't get it. I can't laugh when someone falls. I just want to help them.
You know who laughs a lot when people fall is Simpiwe.
Oh, yes. I know very well. Simpiwe has laughed at all of us. At one time, Jane fell so bad that she even bled, and Simpiwe was the only person laughing.
She thought it was hilarious.
I was like, what is wrong with you?
Not very nice. Also, grandmother used to fall like that all the time, says Helmin.
Yeah?
Used to. In other words, the grandmother died. I mean, she might have died falling, but clearly Helmin doesn't care.
That is heartbreaking.
Sure.
Yo?
There's just something hilarious, says Hugh, about seeing humans fall over. It is kind of funny.
I
do agree. I laugh and laugh, says Helmin. Just very mean people, but it is funny. You don't think it's funny?
It's not funny at all to me.
Oh, shame.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah, these people need to learn some damn etiquette and how to...
But did you see how the second one tried to help the other one?
And also fell.
No!
This is sad, man.
Stop it! No, guys, you can't keep doing this. That's
the second one
unkind.
Looks like my little brother. No, guys, this is not on.
All right. How do you know you're too comfortable in the workplace?
Well, there's a couple of signs. And I have to be careful trading here because I don't want to expose people in my own workplace. I don't want to be called into HR. But there's a couple of signs that a person is way too comfortable in the workplace they're in.
All right.
And by comfortable, I don't mean like comfortable as in like, oh, okay, they're not going anywhere. I mean comfortable as in physically comfortable.
Yeah. You've started to treat it like your house.
It's like their house.
Right.
So the first sign is obviously a messy workplace. So if their workspace is messy, so if their table has a lot of shit on it, if they eat a chocolate and just leave the wrapper over there, that's the very first sign. And I think that's like the starting signs because it gets worse. Oh, believe me, it gets worse.
If there's a whole lot of shit on it. That's true because they don't keep it clean and tidy.
Yeah, because
But it's also the sign of a disordered mind.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
So, little bits of paper, little sweet packets.
Yeah.
Things that it just disordered chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once they start leaving shit laying around on the table, it means that they don't care what people in the office think of them.
Right. That's the first sign.
Yeah. The second sign is bringing personal issues into work. So if they have stuff going on at home, it becomes everybody's problem.
For example,
that one colleague who's just always crying. There's always crying about
drama.
Something.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
And of course, you can't just walk past a person who's crying in the office. You now have to ask.
I don't get involved. But yeah, I mean, listen, I do think there's a certain amount of compassion.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's going through a really hard time and something horrible's happened to them, it's probably a good idea for everybody else to show a bit of interest.
Of course.
Try to help, maybe offer some... assistance, if you need anything, let me know. And there are genuine ways you can help people if they're going through a very hard time because you want them to be happy. You don't just see them at work, you know, and ignore their problems. So it's a thing. But there are those people who bring issues to work all the time. I just broke up, and I mean stupid issues. Like I've just broke up with my girlfriend. Mm. I've got an itchy asshole. These are not other people's.
Using a hairdryer.
I'm using a hairdryer mysteriously in the bathroom after I shower.
Yeah.
These are not serious issues.
Yes.
You agree?
These are not serious issues. But also, right. I feel like if you're going to cry and bring issues into the workplace, there should be a limit.
Yes.
You don't want to be that person.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, stay away from him. He's going to complain about his wife and his kids and like everything in his life. And
We don't need that.
Nobody needs that.
No.
Mm-hmm. The third one is overly relaxed demeanor. And what I mean by that is people who are overly relaxed in the workplace, they put their legs, their feet on the table. Lay back.
I saw someone in the reception of another office sitting like this the other day.
Hi, Bo. Yeah, that's exactly it. They just lay back, feet on the table. It's a nice time. It's a lekker tijd.
They literally were lying down on the sofa in the reception. Now, it's not a place to lie down. You're waiting for a meeting, or you've come to deliver something, or there's something there. Why would you treat it like it's your lounge?
I will never understand such people.
Yo, okay, so that's three things already.
Mm-hmm.
We've got them.
Number four is unprofessional language. So when people get too comfortable with unprofessional language, for example, you can say, that fucking meeting was just delayed. But then if everything starts becoming fucking and, swearing a bit too much, there becomes an issue. It's like, fucking whoever canceled the fucking meeting, fuck. And it's like, okay.
I think that's right.
Maybe they canceled.
Guys, do you think we have this problem in our office? The producers? But you think there's too much unprofessional language sometimes? Yeah.
Is there too much fucking unprofessional language up in here?
Yeah.
Flex? There is.
Yeah. I think there is. We've got to tidy up on that front.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're blaming Marv, but that's fine. He is your boss. He can fire you.
Oh, great. And then the second last one is dress code violations. So when people get comfortable, too comfortable with the way they dress.
Yes.
So if somebody's now coming with like a top that shows one titty's out, or the stepezana.
Yeah, which is very
like
high.
That's so high that you can literally see their, insides. And like if people start getting a bit too comfortable like that, then it's becoming an issue now. I'd love to use my own colleagues as examples, but
but I think that would be dangerous.
That would be very dangerous.
But there are people who don't know how to dress appropriately, and it might not just be that they're dressing too revealingly.
Certainly,
it might be that they also dress badly. Like they just they look like slobs. You know,
they literally look like slobs as if they've given up.
Yeah.
Hey, and they get treated as such.
Like homeless people.
Yeah.
They look like homeless people at
Certainly.
Work.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people have just given up to a point where you just like, look, let's buy them something to wear.
Shame.
Let's just all come together and buy them something.
They need like a new pair of jeans or something.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Hey. And then the last one, the last and most important one. Pooping in the workplace.
Oh. See,
pooping in the workplace.
I have a big problem here because.
Why?
Well, because I don't think you should ever have to do that.
I don't think so, too.
I think there are emergencies, which is why you have bathrooms at the office. Mm-hmm. But mostly it should be for peeing.
Yeah.
Unless you've really developed some kind of problem during the course of the workday and you need to go to the bathroom, there is no other reason for you to have to do that at work. Am
there
I right?
There is no reason. If I feel pressed and I feel like I need the bathroom, I go to HR's office and I don't ask HR. I tell HR, I'm leaving early. My stomach cannot hold whatever's happening inside me at the moment. So I'm going to leave. I will see you tomorrow. I inform HR. I don't ask her.
You actually go to HR and tell them you've got a bowel issue.
Yes. I just go to HR and then I go to my direct line manager and I tell him as well that, look, I am out of here.
And meanwhile, your stomach's actually already going.
Yes. And then I drive at 160. My car feels like it's about to take off. But eventually I get home.
You get home just in time.
I get home just
in
time.
You break down the door. And
I mean, I was beginning to crown even. So
I'm with you, though. Yeah. You don't need to do that at work.
I used to have in an old workplace I used to work in. We used to have a colleague who was so comfortable with taking a cack in the office bathroom. Too comfortable, in my opinion. To a point where he wouldn't even use the brush when he's done.
Oh, you see, that's horrific.
He wouldn't even use the brush. So every time...
So he just sprayed the bowl and then...
Yes. So we used to actually give him we gave him a nickname. He doesn't know about it to this day. I feel like he's going to know now if he sees this.
Go on.
But we used to call him Streaks.
Streaks.
Yeah.
That's horrific.
We used to call him Streaks.
Oh, that's bad.
Because of what he left in the toilet every single time. So,
listen to this. Azalea's tying together the last two stories. We recently had no water at the mine I work at. She works at a mine.
Oh, wow.
She might be a Zamazama. Azalea, you must tell us the truth. She might be a Zamazama. She said, not being able to poop at work was our biggest complaint. I was shocked to learn, she says, that people come to work to shit. People come to work to shit, she says. And I agree with you, Azalea. I am shocked to learn this. Some people, they think that's part of the package. You know, when you get your package, you're a medical aid, or you're freelance, or you're permanent employee, and you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Part of the package, I need to be able to shit at work. Some people think that's important.
What? Why do they have to shit at work?
I don't know. You're asking me. I have no idea.
I think it might be a thing of, you know how smokers have a break so often? Smokers always have a break.
Ah, wait. Free toilet paper and free water.
Oh, there we go.
Because they're cheap.
Yeah, they must be extremely cheap because you're being paid at this company. Why are you not doing that at home? That's very strange.
I can't do it. I can't. I physically can't use the. I can pee at work, but I can't do the other stuff.
I can't either. I can't use a public bathroom, full stop. I literally cannot.
And if you ever go away with someone and you're in a hotel room together and you need to do that, you use the one in reception.
Certainly.
Right?
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to. I've only used a public bathroom once. And that was, oh, good Lord.
Lisa says maybe they don't have a toilet. Ow.
No.
But you've got a job.
Yeah.
Which means you're earning at least enough to have a toilet.
There's no
such
thing as don't have a toilet. Even a bucket is a toilet, Gareth.
Exactly. Even a bucket's a toilet. Says Mash.
You can dig a hole in the ground and you have a toilet.
Sisman says, Raven, and what about shitting at the gym in the same locker room where everyone needs to shower and get dressed? People are horrible.
Yes. Oh, the gym people are disgusting. And gym people, okay, they're all on protein shakes. So they're all gagging like crazy.
Oh,
there.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I've only got once in a public toilet, and that was in Park Station. Just once in my life.
Really?
And I remember after that, I washed my ass with Jik. I had to. And and I vowed to never again. Wow, people are nasty.
Tracy says, I suffer from bowel stage fright. When my husband and I moved in together, stage fright set in. I had to go to my mom's house to cuck.
Oh, no.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
That's weird.
And then here's something about how much you could save. If you only shit at work, you'll save 17 rand on water and 350 rand on toilet paper per year.
Oh, per year. Okay, that's a saving.
Please, let me tell you. It's worth having 350 rand for toilet paper, if you ask me, to be able to use your own home bathroom. Are you joking?
Of course.
Come on. What kind of people are these? What kind of monsters live among us? What kind of barbarians? Huh? What savage animals do we have among us that will not spare the couple of rand for a roll of toilet paper? Oh.
I will never understand these people.
You know they have to lock that stuff up, hey?
Toilet paper. Even at the varsities. I was like, DJ. And they literally lock it up with locks.
Yeah.
But now the students are getting smart. What they do now is they come with an empty like roll, the core of the toilet paper, and they just roll your toilet paper onto theirs.
No.
That's what they do now.
You're joking.
They're getting smart. But at least they're still shitting at their own homes. But still, they're getting smart. I'd rather someone do
they
that at the
They
steal
by
office.
Rolling the toilet paper off the one at the
onto
varsity.
Onto an empty core.
That's incredibly...
Yeah. They're like, we're going to lock them up. These people are like 10 steps ahead, Gareth. Always 10 steps
amazing.
Ahead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crooks, hey?
Mm-hmm. The crime here is next level.
I think that South Africa could teach the world about crime, man.
Absolutely.
I went, a friend of mine went on honeymoon for 2 weeks and never shat once, says Lisa. You see?
Stage fright is apparently a thing, especially when someone's dating someone new. I've never had that. I just got K.
Yeah.
Whether or not.
Yeah. It's part of living. Remember the dried toilet paper clumps in school toilets?
No.
No?
I don't.
What was that for?
What school did you go to? Yeah.
Bitcoin Boot.
Hey, Bitcoin Boot. Yeah.
Barely Vocal Media says the worst is if it gets blocked.
Oh, yes.
At work. Or at someone else's house.
Ooh.
That's terrible. Imagine you go to someone's house for the first time and you use their guest bathroom and you can't help it. You've got some kind of issue.
Yeah.
And so you use the loo and then it gets blocked. That has got to be the most terrible thing that can happen to you socially.
Huh? My biggest thing is, why are you gagging at someone's house?
Okay,
sure. Rather go to the garage. Say I'm driving out quickly. I'm going to buy some Coke or some chips and then come back with Coke and chips after taking a gag. I'd rather you do that than gag in my home.
I think the bathrooms that get the least respect in the whole world are garage bathrooms.
Oh, yeah. They don't deserve the respect.
Right. There's no respect.
Yeah. Nobody knows nobody there. You just walk in, walk out. Nobody is none
no
the
respect.
Wiser. Yeah. At least nobody knows you there. You know, especially if it's like a garage that you're not a, you're not a regular at. They're not going to be like, oh, there's Gareth. Oh, Batung, let's go see him in the toilet. He left a mess again.
I feel so sorry for people who have to clean those bathrooms.
Ish.
I often think about it, like in shopping malls or
yes.
in... Because, you know, you could be a homeless person. You could walk in to the shopping mall in like your blanket.
Yes.
And you could use the bathroom, but like terribly, just make a terrible
mess.
And then just walk right out again. And then some poor woman who's someone's mother, who's someone's sister, has to go in there and has to clean that up.
Ooh.
I'm like, people are disgusting, you know? No respect.
But you know what? I don't mind those people who make the mess because they're keeping someone else employed, Gareth.
But my God, what a job. Oh,
because if the toilets are always clean all the time, the mall will be like, okay, I guess we don't need you to clean the toilets.
No, that's terrible. Barely Vocal Media says, I had a hot curry and that food went straight through. The food had an E-tag. It went straight through. People love talking about this stuff, hey?
Oh.
We got very lavatorial here. But I do think that you brought this out because you were talking about things at work.
Yes.
Now, I reckon that there are people who don't know that work needs to be a different vibe to home.
It has to be.
Like, there are obviously certain offices, especially in the US and these tech companies, where they try to make it as comfortable as possible.
Yes.
They have nap time. If you can't go to sleep on your desk in South Africa, people will chase you out.
They'll chase you out of there.
Right?
Yeah.
If you have a...
Gareth, imagine I'm walking past your desk. I sent you an email that I need an urgent response to and you're taking a nap. No, that is not on.
Wow. I think that would be pretty terrible. You walk past it. Having a fat sleep at my desk.
Honestly, I'll tell HR to tell you to go home. That's the only thing. Why is he here? He's going to sleep here. Might as well. But yeah, it is crazy there in workplaces. And we're exposed to a lot of crazy behavior. Yeah, people crying.
People don't know how to behave.
They do not know how to.
It's like they were raised very badly by parents who weren't often at home.
Yeah.
Right?
That's straight up. I think that's the scenario here.
Because you can't just fall asleep at the desk and shit in the bathroom and spread your stuff all over the table.
Yeah.
Like you can't do that. It's just not on.
You know, I went to another company's offices not so long ago and they had a sign in the toilets talking about how your gag should remain in the bowl. Like I closed the door and there was a sign there. It was a laminated thing. You could see like, they were mad and they like someone typed this, made it bold in Helvetica and then printed it, laminated it and put it up in the toilets. And I was like, for this to be up, something happened, obviously. Something happened for them to say your shit should remain in the bowl.
Something very terrible. So a great tragedy took place. So Congo Chris says, just to wrap this up, because we are going on, you two are like a pair of old ladies today. Have a shit at work. You guys are being full of cuck. So, okay. All right.
I'd rather be an old lady.
If that's what you want to say. We are allowed to moan like two old ladies if we feel like it. All right. So I've got a guest on the line. Her name is Marina Nestel. She decided that she was going to move to London at an early age. She then joined the Purple PR Agency, which is a famous PR agency. Her talent for strategic event planning and brand management flourished, and after 6.5 years there, she came back to South Africa and launched something called the Little Black Book in 2007. Through this, she's elevated South Africa's event scene, pioneered a style marked by luxury, precision, and creativity. So I thought we'd just chat to her a little bit about, the world of events, the world of PR, and all that kind of thing. So Marina, how are you? There she is.
Very well, thank you, Gareth. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, cool. So tell us a little bit about the experience of PR and the stuff that you've done so far and the kind of things that you do now.
Absolutely. Well, I would say that PR and events found me other than the other way around. And I've just always been a natural networker, mixing in certain circles and taking advantage of the situations I find myself in. PR at the moment is doing extremely well, more so than events, purely because people do spend a lot of money on SEO and Google Analytics. Mm. However, if you think about something, you know, the celebrities, the Kardashians, they don't need to spend money on SEO or Google Analytics.
No.
Everything in the media keeps them relevant. And so that's, you know, that's one of the things that people miss out on. And PR and digital marketing works very well hand in hand together. Mm-hmm. Events, still weddings we do. We're doing a lot of corporate events at the moment this time of the year. In terms of luxury brands like Hugo Boss, Tommy Hilfiger, H&M, previous clients of mine, they're not doing the big events that they used to due to budget restrictions ever since COVID. But we're keeping very busy on the digital marketing side.
I am amazed at how much people spend on events. It's like a one-off thing. And yet you've got these companies that will spend millions of rands to do an event. The food is hugely expensive. The decor is a big thing. Mm. Branding all over the place. They'll hire entertainment for all of this stuff. And I mean, Mash, you've been involved in some of this to a degree too.
Yes.
The budgets are huge. You mentioned there are a couple of luxury brands who are spending a little bit less, but by and large, it seems to me people are spending again in events and PR.
Yes and no. You know, there's like a 1%, you know, I was always luxury mainly. Mm-hmm. So in terms of like Mum Champagne, yes, they do focus on Johannesburg quite a bit. In Cape Town, not so much anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And the budgets are not what they used to be. They used to be astronomical. And that's one of the reasons why I started my business, because I worked for British American Tobacco as a Dunhill rep. And they used to have hundreds of millions of rands worth of budgets and the wrong audience coming to the event, which is, means it's an obviously an epic fail.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized that recruiting the right target audience and making sure that they are present at the event, that makes it worthwhile spending the amount of money that they were spending.
Yeah, I mean, it is insane when you think about how much money some of these companies have spent on a total flop, right? Yes. Like if you don't know what you want out of an event and I suppose you spend millions of rands and you get nothing out of it, you kind of deserve it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. I mean, what kind of stuff have you seen in your career people have wasted money on? Like, what are the biggest line items that you think, oh, that was so stupid of these people? And it doesn't necessarily have to be people that you worked with. It could be anybody in the industry. Could have been an event that you went to.
I'm always very critical when I go to other people's events.
Sure.
It's mainly, I would say, the database is most important, because when I started with a corporate company, my goodness, I've never seen such a bad, it's almost like it was a renter crowd and filling bums on the seat.
Yeah. You know? Who is there is more
13 million rand.
Who is there is always more important rand than anything else, right? It's like if you invite the wrong people, it's a mess.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing Hugo Boss, for instance, you need people who can afford Hugo Boss. And that would make me sometimes not so popular, because people didn't realize I could not just invite absolutely anyone and Katie from next door. Yeah. I had to invite people who could afford to shop there, so that it makes financial sense for my client. So people be like, oh gosh, she's superficial. She won't put me on the guest list. She's changed so much. It's not that at all. I do this as a career. It's my profession. Mm. And my main objective is pleasing the client.
Absolutely. I mean, Mash, you can imagine, you can't invite Mahoshas and Skevereshes to your fancy launch, right? I mean, it would be terrible.
You absolutely cannot. And actually, when I was in Sun City 2 weeks ago, There was a 1 hour long fireworks display in Sun City.
Wow.
1 hour long. I put on my story.
That's amazing.
It just didn't end. And like these spectacular fireworks, not like 100 shooters and sparklers.
Yeah.
A huge one.
Yeah.
And I remember I got a shuttle to the casino. I was gambling quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
I got a shuttle and I asked my driver, like, what's happening? Take me to those fireworks. Wherever that's coming from, that's where I want to be. And he's like, it's actually a company's year-end function.
Wow.
I was like, what? And they had lasers and there was huge speakers that you could hear the sound all over Sun City. And I was like, I wonder how much this company spent. I made some of this stuff. I can't mention what company it was. But I was like, damn, people are going all out for these things.
Well, still. I mean, if you can make a noise in the market that you're looking to attract, that's first prize, right?
Certainly.
And if someone like Mash says, ooh, I want to be wherever that is, that's kind of that's what you're trying to create, even for the people who were not on the guest list. Is that right, Marina?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you want everyone to walk away, and word of mouth is very powerful. Social media, obviously, you know, tagging and stories and everything like that. But getting the ripple effect of reaching the audience of people that may have not been able to attend the event but now do know about it. So it all plays a very important role altogether. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Little Black Book offers a PR events digital marketing service all in one. We will not do an event unless, or should I say, we will not have our database at an event if we're not involved in absolutely everything. Because if the food is not correct, if the type of alcohol that they've chosen is like shitty Libertas, for example, my guest list is not going to come back to the next event. I'm only as good as my last event. So especially in Cape Town, you've got to strive to be bigger and better each time.
Okay, so just tell me, because you're calling your company's called Little Black Book. And obviously that means you've got in your, because it used to, every hostess in the world who was worth anything had her little black book that she would index names in, and she'd go, I feel like seeing those people. I don't feel like seeing these. It's a very clever name, but this does make you unpopular with some people. You mentioned already some people say, oh, she's being superficial. She's mean. She never invites me to things. She thinks she's superior. Like, how do you deal with that in the world you're in? Because if you don't invite people, they can get very mean.
Mm. Yeah. And I've actually got broad shoulders now. I've been in the public eye for more than 2 decades. And I very early on began to realize that what started off, I was a socialite by heart. I loved going out. I loved networking. The minute this became a career, I basically sit in like jeans and t-shirt during the day, and then my work outfit is a pair of stilettos and a couture dress, and then I whip that on and I do the red carpet, and it's a job. And what I realized, there's a red line between my database. I'm not trying to, I'm a hostess and I'm an entertainer, so I will make absolutely everyone feel special, and I do know a lot about absolutely every single person. I'm like a sponge when it comes to things like that. But in my head, I have to realize my circle is literally as small. It's probably about 10 people. And those are the people I confide in. And those are my true friends. And they're not necessarily at the event. So I had to make peace with the fact that I can't make everyone happy. No one's going to understand that I'm actually doing this for a profession and I'm not there to party. And they are. I'm there to entertain, hostess, and ultimately, please a client who is paying me at the end of the day. This is, you know, some people will turn around and go, oh, she only wants to be relevant nowadays. You have to be when you are a self-made entrepreneur. You know, you have to. I'm not going to follow Virgin Airlines unless I'm following Richard Branson. I'm not going to watch the newspaper. I'm going to follow Donald Trump and find out from the horse's mouth if he won the election.
Yes.
And that's just all on Instagram. So branding yourself as a career person is just as important as, you know, representing your company, the Little Black Book, or whatever company it is.
What about people, and especially celebrities? We have a lot of very low-rent celebrities in this country. Like, they think they're famous people.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they're Instagram influencers, and basically they'll do anything for a free T-shirt. How do you keep those people out of things like this? Because that devalues an event. It devalues a brand. There are lots of people who want to be famous or think they're famous, and really they're trash. They actually are machoshas and skeverishes.
Unfortunately, I think I'm responsible for that.
It's your fault
to start using social. It is all my fault.
Oh no!
The Laura Moran's Queen's Plate. The bloggers came along. You know, there was Two Oceans Vibe originally before for social media, and then the bloggers came along, and I made them feel like they were the most important people ever because I wanted the article on Google. Remember, Google Analytics are very important. Every time you have an article, it shoots you to the top.
Yes.
Yeah. So I gave them a God complex. And then whatever I do, all my competitors seem to follow and copy. Mm. It's always been like that. So, yeah, I pretty much am responsible for that.
Damn it.
Their inflated egos. You know, the thing that's really, I won't mention who, but there's a TikTok, Instagram influencer, I think she's a celebrity, who's got like 3.4 million followers. Now, it really depends on the demographics and the quality. You remember, it's quality versus quantity.
Sure.
And she did a post, she got free aesthetic surgery done by a doctor and posted onto 3.4 million followers, not one referral. I go in, have a little kind of fairy dust done, and walked down the street, and without posting on social media, 5 clients went in the next 2 weeks. It's really quite interesting. If you're going to go for the influencers, for Mr. Price, absolutely, that's the right person to go for. But when it comes to a really top, high-profile brand, I'd rather have the Fresnay Yummy Mummy, who's got 800 followers with a closed account, posting something. That will be far more important to me than someone with 3.4 million followers, not a single referral to the poor doctor who spent 12,000 rand on her.
Mm. Shame.
Oh, I love that. I love that you focus on the quality of the following and not just the reach. Because nowadays it's so easy to
The quality is so much more important.
Yeah.
People have forgotten word of mouth is sometimes more important than posting your airing your dirty laundry on social media. It just doesn't look good for yourself.
Yeah.
It's so easy to be distracted by the numbers nowadays. Just say, oh, she has 4 million followers. And everybody's like, wow, that is incredible. Meanwhile, all these followers are in primary school. What are they going to buy of yours?
Or bots.
Yeah.
Or bots.
Yes, or bots.
If you look at it, it's like one follower, no profile picture. It just obviously feeds their ego. But what's the point? Because you share something onto that group and not one person likes it, which tells you it's a bot follower.
Listen, I am very, very angry with you for having brought all these rubbish people into our lives, these influencers. You should never have done that. And I want you to apologize so that we can move on from here. Otherwise, I'm never going to.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for myself.
Yeah.
Because I did. I made them feel like gods and queens. And I boosted their egos. And they waltz in there. And dear God. Yeah.
Terrible.
I really shouldn't bat anyone down because I do this for a living. But. Really, it's really not going to add any value to me. You're just coming to waste my time, drink for free, and like take my photography.
Listen, Marina, I've got to ask you. Okay, so I've got to ask you about this. I went to an event a while ago, and the staff of the company were ordering 6 packs of alcohol and putting them under the table to take home at a company function. That is disgusting behavior, right?
What?
They were ordering this. They were going, so the drinks were free for people who worked there and the guests of the party and everything. But they were ordering like 6 packs of like Savannah or whatever and putting them under the table to take home in their bags afterwards. I mean, if someone does that, they should never, ever be invited again, right?
No. I mean, like with me with goodie bags, you see people walk out with 6 or 10 goodie bags. The Little Black Book is really well known for doing the most luxury and most incredible goodie bags at events.
Yes.
And you see them walking out and you actually try and catch them, but you've got to smile sweetly at the same. And it's normally the people that have actually got a bit of money. It's not always not that we have any down and out because we focus on luxury brands.
Wow. So you're saying people who have some money and they're so cheap that they will try to take
the goodie bag,
a whole bunch of goodie bags. By the way, what would have been in? Give me an idea of what kind of stuff you put in your goodie bags.
Well, KitchenAid have been a client for me for 2 decades now. So Susanna Ruta, who owns it, always gives us most incredible KitchenAid things. She's so generous. Mm-hmm. She also owns Wings Group, so Ruta Sport, and there's a whole bunch of sweets and chocolates and biscuits.
Wow.
Then we've got McQueen's, also a client, so sometimes they give us facials. Bida, who's a hairstylist, she does... she's got a beauty salon there too. So she often does some vouchers for to have a blow dry. She's like the whiz with blonde color. And yeah, they are, I can't actually think right now offhand. We always
sounds
have some
good.
Incredible makeup brands.
Sounds good.
Cindy Nell from Catrice.
Yeah, of course. I mean, your Mash is basically thinking like, how can I get an invite? Okay, so so if people, I mean, there was someone who asked, like, are you hiring people at the moment? Because there are a lot of people who want to get into the world that you're in. It's hard work. You're going to have to set up events. That's never glamorous. People always think, oh, it's just great. You arrive in a nice dress. Mm-hmm. You look terrific and you just welcome people. And then at the end of the party, you just go home. But I mean, the real hard work is what happens on either side of that.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I don't actually ever accept anyone who sends me a CV. I don't even open it. I don't look at LinkedIn because all I get is people hounding me for their services. And you know what? If I'm looking for someone, it'll be word of mouth. It'll most likely be the person who was previously working as my assistant recommending someone that is usually, it just worked out this way, but all my girls have always been glamorous. super organized, absolutely every single quality that I don't have. So there's no room for two Marinas in the office. So I obviously, my strengths are customer liaison, bringing in clients, opening and closing deals. And the customers like to deal with me. I do the guest list. No one's ever touched my database except for me. So there's that very personalized effect to it. But my girls must write, they must spell, they must be organized. Absolutely everything, and let me do my job, and you just make sure that you keep the ship floating.
I love it. All right, well, listen, thank you for joining us this morning. It's nice to have somebody who understands this world and who can help us to understand it. I do think it was very brave of you to admit that you brought these influences into our lives. It's a terrible thing that you did, but you have apologized, and good luck to you. It's nice to see you on the show.
Great, thank you so much.
Awesome. We'll check in with you again. All right, everybody. That's all we got time for this morning. Thank you, Mashiani.
Very good to see you. It's a pleasure, Gareth.
And Mash is going to go off to drink more water, not eat a lot, go to gym, do his sound bath.
Yes.
I mean, basically, every time you see him, he's going to look 10 years younger and better.
It's absolutely. Amazing. That's the plan. And I hope some of you join me as well.
Yeah, there we go. Because we don't want you falling like those other two ladies or gentlemen or whoever they were. All right, everybody, we'll see you on Wednesday.
Which one's this one now?
Who found this?